to investigate it. We need to investigate how politicized it was. And in particular, we need to see what were the roles of the political appointees. Who signed off on it? Was it Loretta Lynch? Was it John Brennan? What was it Joe Biden? Was it President Obama himself? That kind of accountability we need to know, and the public deserves answers.
Speaking at the White House today, President Trump says his oldest son is in a tough situation.
My son spent, I guess, over 20 hours testifying about something that Mueller said was 100% okay, and now they want him to testify again.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! May you all have a happy Mother's Day weekend, and join us as we begin celebrating National Police Officers Week. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What you got this week, Josh?
Good day, Colonel. I'm excited that it's graduation season, and so are all the fourth-year Military Academy cadets and middies who will soon be throwing their service covers in the air and pinning on their new ranks as second lieutenants or ensigns in the world's greatest military, ours.
Thanks, Josh. And Marine vet Skip Coriel seems to be a happy guy. You find some mushrooms, Skip?
Well, actually, Colonel, I'm a happy guy, but I'm also a fun guy, as in fungi.
Oh.
You get it?
Yeah.
You have to spell it out for the Army Rangers, I know. But, yeah, I'm finding all kinds of morel mushrooms out there. I was out there this morning before the show. I was surrounded by black morel mushrooms. It was just awesome. I had a great time.
Did any of them attack you?
Well, they tried.
Okay.
They tried, but I overpowered them with a 9mm handgun.
Well, you have to be prepared. Well, here's what I have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'll be joined by Lou Cannon from the Fraternal Order of Police to discuss how we're going to be honoring our nation's law enforcement for this entire show. Then former Police Chief Teresa Chambers will share some insights. Linda Heine is the president of the National Order of Police Auxiliary. That's the families of police officers. Then we're going to meet Linda Black, the fiancée of a police officer who's also on a police critical action response team. Then Police Sergeant Joe Daly will discuss nearly 20 years on patrol, and Toms River, New Jersey Police Officer Ted Mahoney will share insights from his time as a police officer. And finally, retired Police Lieutenant Nick Brule will discuss the killing of police officers.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, as you know, on each show we honor a deceased military person. Well, we have been. Not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, but they have to have served honorably, active duty, guard, or reserves. I'm out of stories. I need more vets to honor. To nominate someone, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service. Send the information to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. Well, now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
President Trump signed an executive grant of clemency, a full pardon, for former Army First Lieutenant Michael Behena of Oklahoma, who was convicted in 2009 of killing an Iraqi prisoner. He was paroled in 2014 and was scheduled to remain on parole until 2024. A military court had sentenced him to 25 years in prison. However, the Army Clemency and Parole Board reduced his sentence to 15 years due to some trial improprieties and paroled him as soon as he was eligible. Behena's case attracted broad support from the military, Oklahoma elected officials, and the public. Oklahoma's two Republican senators, James Lankford and Jim Inhofe, hailed the pardon, thanking Trump for giving Behenna a clean slate. Behenna acknowledged during his trial that instead of taking the prisoner home as he was ordered, he took the man to a railroad culvert, stripped him, and then questioned him at gunpoint about a roadside bombing that had killed two members of Behenna's platoon. Behenna said the man tried to attack him with a loose piece of concrete and then moved toward him in what he thought was an attempt to take his gun. Behenna then shot the Iraqi prisoner, saying it was done in self-defense. Oklahoma's attorney general first requested a pardon for Behenna in February 2018 and renewed his request last month because of erroneous jury instructions and the failure of prosecutors to turn over evidence supporting his self-defense claim.
I hope this full pardon is the first of many, as there are a great many warriors who were defending our nation who are now convicted felons.
Our military has been training Afghan military pilots and maintainers here in the U.S. for years, but we've shut down that program because of high desertion rates among the trainees, according to the Office of the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. Deserters, who often claim that they or their families have been threatened by the Taliban, have been a persistent problem for our military and Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. Afghan trainees who violate the terms of their visas suffer virtually no consequences for going AWOL, except for their possible return to Afghanistan. In 2017, ICE reported that 152 Afghan trainees had deserted since 2005, and 83 of them either fled the country successfully, often traveling to Canada to seek political asylum, or were still missing.
Perhaps it's time to look at the war in Afghanistan and see if it's even winnable.
The Defense Department charged that China is running concentration camps for possibly 3 million Muslims to maintain internal control while aggressively pursuing a military buildup to confront the United States. Assistant Secretary of Defense for Indo-Pacific Security Affairs, Randall Schreiber, said use of the politically explosive term concentration camps is appropriate, given the scope of China's massive detentions of mostly ethnic Muslims and other groups in the country's western region. Schreiber said that at least 1 million, but likely closer to 3 million, out of a total population of about 10 million ethnic Muslims and other groups had been sent to camps, so a very significant portion of their population. He added, "What's happening there, coupled with the public statements of Chinese officials, make what I think a very appropriate description," he said in calling the relocation sites concentration camps. Last year, Amnesty International reported that at least 1 million members of Muslim ethnic groups were being held in what China officially calls transformation through education centers.
China is an absolute dictatorship, and such governments regularly use force and internment to control those citizens who resist them.
National Security Advisor John Bolton will be the graduation speaker at the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut, carrying on a long history of high-profile speakers. The commencement address has been delivered by presidents and top cabinet members for decades. President Trump spoke at the Academy in 2017 under a tradition in which presidents rotate their commencement speeches at the military service academies. Vice President Mike Pence delivered the address last year. Bolton will be speaking on May 22nd at the 138th commencement on the Academy's football field overlooking the Thames River. Bolton, age 70, holds an undergraduate and law school degree from Yale. President George W. Bush appointed him as the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations in August 2005, as a recess appointment after a Democratic filibuster had stalled his nomination.
Ambassador Bolton has been a regular guest on this show prior to being appointed to his current position. He speaks clearly and to the point and knows what he's talking about. I'm sure the Coast Guard Academy cadets will enjoy his comments and learn from him.
Advocates for troops exposed to open-air burn pits are recruiting allies on Capitol Hill to persuade the Department of Veterans Affairs to expand health care and compensation for sickened veterans. Taking their fight to Congress, the group Burn Pits 360, joined by civilian physicians and researchers who treat and study affected veterans, met with lawmakers and staff to press the VA into action. Service members in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere were exposed to chemicals and fumes from large open-air burn pits used to dispose of garbage, plastics, and other hazardous materials. Some have respiratory disease, rare cancers, and neurological disorders. Their doctors attribute to environmental exposures. A member of the Army National Guard who served in Iraq in 2005 has sponsored a bill, H.R. 663, that would require the Defense Department to ensure that service members are enrolled in a VA registry for troops exposed to burn pits.
And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, Lou Cannon and I will discuss National Police Officers Week. Then we'll learn about the National Fraternal Order of Police Auxiliary, the spouses and families of officers. At East Troops, take a break.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. As we begin our interviews with members of law enforcement community, I want to make it clear how much I appreciate these fine people. While they are not our brothers and sisters in arms, they are our first cousins in valor, because every day each of them puts his or her life on the line protecting people they don't even know, some of whom don't even like them. Without these great people, our communities would be disasters. Joining me for my comments by the Colonel is Lou Cannon, the chair of the Memorial Committee for the National Police Week. So welcome, Lou.
Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
Lou, tell us about your time in law enforcement.
Well, I've got about 42 years in law enforcement. I started out in Washington, D.C. as basically a foot patrolman, as just about everybody in law enforcement starts out. I worked my way up through the ranks with the Metropolitan Police Department. I retired as a supervisor out of the Gun Recovery Unit. After 20-some years with them, I then went into federal service, where I went up through the ranks and achieved the position of chief of police for the Office of Naval Intelligence. I was then recruited back to D.C. to be chief of police for the D.C. Protective Services for the protection of all the government-owned, leased, and managed properties here in the Washington, D.C.
So you sound like a guy who you got in, you couldn't get out, huh?
And even after I got out, I guess you could say I'm now in private security, serving as a district supervisor at the United States Marshal Service.
So when it comes to law enforcement, that's definitely you.
I've been known to be referred to as Mr. Law Enforcement.
And probably some other things, too, that we won't discuss on the air.
Yes, I think FCC would not permit those.
Yep. Okay, give us a quick overview of the Fraternal Order of Police. Who are they? What do they do?
The Fraternal Order of Police is the largest professional law enforcement organization in the United States, with over 330,000 members. We represent them for contracts and in legislative matters locally and nationally. We are known as the voice of law enforcement.
And there are chapters all over the place, right? It's not just a national organization.
Correct. We have chapters all across the United States and even in Hawaii and Alaska.
That makes sense. Okay, now let's talk about National Police Week, which starts this coming Monday. I believe it was started by President Kennedy in the early 60s?
That's correct. It was first started by him in the early 60s to honor law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty.
How is it manifested? How is it done? Talk to us about what we, the listeners, can expect to see going on next week throughout our nation as part of National Police Week.
Well, here in Washington, D.C., we will actually have law enforcement officers not only from all over the United States, but all over the world. United Kingdom, Australia, Israel, they will all come here to honor those that have made the supreme sacrifice and given their lives in the line of duty here and abroad. This year we have over 228 honorees that will be there. And then from all walks of law enforcement, we have rangers that have given their lives. We have patrol officers. We have Secret Service agents, actually, one who was protecting the president and had a heart attack in the line of duty protecting President Trump. We have FBI agents that have succumbed to injuries and illnesses that they received during 9/11. So it's a wide populace of people that are being honored.
Well, and very well deserved, given the fact that once you show up for duty, you are on duty. I guess, but once you leave your house, you're on duty.
Correct. You're never really off duty. I've been involved in several cases in assisting other law enforcement officers while on my way to work, on my way home, and, you know, just everywhere. You'd be surprised. I could be shopping with my wife, and I've had to take law enforcement action. She wasn't very happy about that, and especially the one time when I had to take some action when I had my daughter out, and she informed me that I was not being a good father at the time. I tried to tell her I was being a protector.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing National Police Week with Lou Cannon. You know, my grandfather, my father's father, was a police officer in Oakland, California about 100 years ago, and he was on his way home from work, taking a bus home. He saw a woman driver with her car on the side of the road. He went to help her, and some drunk ran him over and killed him, and he was on his way home. So it never stops, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, and a lot of these are actions of where officers lose their lives. They're engaging in helping the public. They're there to serve and protect, as the slogan goes. But, I mean, they're doing what we all love to do. The public is the rest of our family. We're here to be their protectors and to take care of them, to keep them from evil and to make sure no harm comes to them, irregardless of whether we're working, getting paid for it, or whether we're on our home volunteering and not getting paid for it.
Yes, sir. and the world is getting to be a more dangerous, not less dangerous place. So our need for police officers is greater now than it's been. And one of the things that bothers me, and I'm sure it bothers you, is in at least parts of our country, there is less respect for police officers than there was when I was growing up.
Today is a different world. Take a look at how many actions have been stopped at the malls by off-duty officers who were there. And there's numerous cases of officers stopping active shooters before more harm could come to the public. They're there. They risk their lives. They risk the lives of their families when they take these actions, too. You know, we have specialized training now for off-duty encounters. We're not going to stop just because we're off-duty or we have our families. We'll make sure that our families are protected before we take the action. But we're going to make sure as few people, if any, have to pay any type of price for the actions of those evil ones that are out there that are bent and determined to harm people. We're there to prevent that.
Final question. May 15th is National Police Officers Memorial Day, and it's the week that that Memorial Day falls in is National Police Week. What specifically will be happening on the 15th?
On the 15th, all the survivors from 2018 plus previous survivors will assemble on the west front of the Capitol. They'll be there to have tributes paid to their loved ones who have given the sacrifice. The new survivors will be meeting with the old survivors. This is their indoctrination into a club that they didn't ask to join, they didn't want to join, but they're forced to join. They'll learn from the other survivors how to proceed and get through this. They'll be able to recognize and hopefully have some closure to why their loved ones, whether it's a father, mother, husband, wife, whatever, that was lost performing their duties protecting the public. This is their goodbye to them. This is hopefully the one thing that can give them the closure and give them the strength and the knowledge to go on and go forth and continue to honor them, not in their death, but in their life, and so that they can continue their lives knowing that they will never walk alone. We will always be with them.
Thank you, Lou. Folks, we're now going to be talking to some fine members of the police officer community. Lou, thank you for helping me find some great folks to interview today. You played a big role in that. And thank you for the way you continue to serve our nation. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Well, I want to thank you for raising the awareness of what this event is all about. It's about the men and women of law enforcement and what they do.
Amen, sir. It is. Okay, straight ahead on Front Lines of Freedom, we're going to meet former Police Chief Teresa Chambers and discuss dealing with the death of one of your officers. Then we're going to meet the president of the National Fraternal Order of Police Auxiliary. That's the families of police officers, Linda Heine, and more. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Front Lines of Freedom. I'll be right back, troops. It's time for planks. Let's do 3 minutes each and do 10, then stand at ease. May is National Armed Forces Month, and Spartan Nash is proud to serve those presently serving in our military and their families. As a leading distributor of grocery products to military commissaries in the U.S., Spartan Nash and its MDV division thank you for your service.
At Spartan Nash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served through the commissaries and at our more than 155 company-owned grocery stores and independent retail locations throughout the country.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump remains optimistic about resolving the growing trade war with China.
I think it's going to turn out extremely well. We're in a very strong position.
And as far as the president's relationship with the Chinese president?
The relationship I have with President Xi is extraordinary. It's really very good, but he's for China and I'm for the USA.
He says they don't always see eye to eye, but he's hoping to improve this relationship. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in Russia meeting with his counterpart, the Russian foreign minister.
We talked about some of the regional conflicts and terrorism. I think there are spaces where we can get our teams and begin to build out a common set of understanding.
Secretary of State Pompeo is set to meet later with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And Tiger Woods and his girlfriend are being sued for the wrongful death of an employee at the Woods restaurant in Jupiter, Florida. This is USA Radio News.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. As we continue to honor those in law enforcement, it's an honor to welcome to the show Teresa Chambers, a former police chief. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you, Colonel. It's a real pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Teresa, tell us what attracted you to police work, then what you did and why you did it.
Well, now you're going to age me by asking that question. I got into law enforcement in 1976. I was working as a legal secretary and got fascinated with criminal law. But I didn't want to be on the side that was working for criminals and getting them out of jail. So I decided that law enforcement was the way that may satisfy my urge to go out. And the more I learned about it, the more I fell in love with it. The opportunity to serve the community, but also to be there as things were happening or soon thereafter, was very appealing. So I joined the Prince George's County Police Department. I was too young to be a police officer at the time. So I served as a cadet for a few years, graduated from the academy in 1978, and served more than 21 years there. Sadly, reality hit real fast because in those 21 years, 13 friends and colleagues were killed in the line of duty in just that one agency. One was a very good friend, a classmate. We had only 11 of us in our class, and he was killed 14 months after our graduation. And that's when the somber realization of how dangerous the job is, and yet we do it with that knowledge as a privilege to serve others, as a privilege to do our part to keep our communities safe. I moved after graduating from there. I moved to the Durham, North Carolina Police Department, and I served there until I was hired by the United States Park Police early in 2002, not long after 9/11. Sadly, it was just over a year later that one of our officers was killed in the line of duty, Hakeem Farthing, senselessly run over by a drunk driver. And then in 2011, right before Christmas, Sergeant Mike Bain suffered a fatal heart attack as he ran to give aid to a person who we later determined had jumped off of a bridge. Things that will stay with me forever. And there's no way to put those pieces of lives back together when we have such a tragedy.
No, there's not. And the crisis affects the fellow officers, the family, not just the family of the deceased officer, but all the other families. It hits the community hard, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And we find out through tragedies like that how much our officers and our agencies and our service means to the community. Sometimes it's easy to focus on the negative. It's easy to focus on the media attention to an officer that may do wrong or an incident that didn't go exactly the way we would have hoped it would. And yet we find out when tragedy strikes our own brothers and sisters in blue that the community does stand behind us, and they know how valuable it is to have, as we call it, that thin blue line between anarchy and democracy and freedom.
Well, yes, that's an understatement. And I, too, understand because my father's father was a police officer killed in the line of duty by a drunk driver.
Mm.
So, yes. As a police chief, you had to deal with everything. And the challenge is that good people do dumb things. Good people make mistakes.
Yes.
Every group has got the occasional jerk. The jerk can be brought around sometimes. And if you're the guy in charge or the gal in charge, that's all your responsibility to
sort out
the just one of those darn things that happened versus the careless versus the reckless versus – you get to do all that, don't you?
That's right. And I truly loved working with the men and women that chose to be law enforcement officers. And my approach was rather simple, that when a mistake was made where they were attempting to do the right thing, where it truly was, geez, I didn't intend for this outcome, I didn't expect this outcome, if it was possible to work with them, then we used it as a teaching moment. It often had a much better police officer at the end of all that. If they intentionally went out and did wrong, intentionally went out and harmed someone, lied about it, perjured themselves, any number of things, they were not welcome to serve on our police force or in the police department. It brought discredit to all of us, not just in that agency, but across the profession, across the country. You know, law enforcement is different like that because, you know, a plumber can come into your house and make a mess of your plumbing and cause a leak. And no one ever says, well, that's typical of plumbers. I'll never hire another one again. I'll never trust one again. It doesn't happen. But in law enforcement, it does. Someone does something, and especially today where everything is videotaped and audiotaped and played over and over on social media and in the actual media, people are quick to say, well, that's just typical of law enforcement. And it's hard to undo that. And so as police chiefs and leaders, when we see a bad apple, it is our job to weed them out.
It is, and at the same time, not to weed out good people who just made a mistake.
You betcha.
Because I will admit to anybody, I've sure made my share, and I think I'm a good person and a good soldier.
Well, and I often ask folks as I teach leadership around the region, how many of us have learned our greatest lessons in life by screwing it up the first time? In fact, General Norman Schwarzkopf had a videotape that I still use that talks about that. How many of us learned those greatest lessons? And everybody raises their hand, myself included. Of course we do. And thank heavens we had people that believed in us, that helped nurture us and mentor us to become the persons that we are today.
Oh, yes, ma'am. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing police work with former Chief Teresa Chambers. Teresa, we've got a couple of minutes left. Talk to us about some things that you'd like our listeners to remember during National Police Week and into the future.
Well, you know, I was surprised as a young officer to find out that it was President Kennedy in 1962 when I was just a young pup, just a kid, not even in elementary school. He proclaimed May 15 as National Peace Officers Memorial Day. And the calendar week in which May 15th falls as National Police Week, that has grown to celebrations in some regard and memorializations throughout the month of May each year. It gives us an opportunity to give recognition to those officers who lost their lives in the line of duty and the protection of others, but also to honor those who are out there every day on the front line. We don't know whether we're coming home at the end of a shift. The end of my last shift, I fell to my knees and thanked God for getting me through the door for all of those years, and my husband as well, and I'm married to a retired law enforcement officer. I'd ask folks to pause and pray for the officers and their families that are out on the front lines and those that have lost their lives. Find a way, if you can get in, especially in the Washington, D.C. area, there are so many public events to attend. They will change you forever in a positive way. Thank an officer that you see on the street. Don't be surprised if he or she isn't responsive at first, because we're not used to that. We're used to folks coming up to tell us something bad going on. but pause and thank them for the job that they're doing and reflect on the job that they do every day. You know, I believe when you and I spoke first, Colonel, I mentioned that while you were out protecting our country as a soldier, our men and women in law enforcement are on the streets. They're our hometown soldiers. They're the ones keeping peace and doing their part to keep America safe and uphold the values that have made our country great.
Teresa, you hit the nail on the head. That's why it fits perfectly into my show, to take this show and honor our police officers, because they do exactly that. Every day they go out and put their lives on the line, protecting people that they don't know, and many of whom don't even like them.
Right.
And they do it day after day after day.
Thank you for recognizing that. It's a real pleasure to hear that.
Teresa, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service and your husband's service to our nation, to our community. Thank you for what you're doing now. I'm proud to call you a friend. I hope we can stay in touch.
Likewise. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Next up, we'll talk with Linda Heine. She's the president of the National Fraternity of Police Auxiliary, the group of family members of police officers. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It is push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel. Online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we built specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing to honor the brave members of our nation's law enforcement community. Joining us now is Linda Henney. Linda is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police Auxiliary, the family members of the law enforcement community. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm glad to talk with you.
Linda, talk to us about your background. What's your title, law enforcement?
My title, law enforcement, is my husband, who was a police officer for 30 years in our hometown of Dayton, Ohio. And he retired about 15 years ago.
And somehow he retired, but you didn't. You're still involved.
Very, very much so. I got involved in the auxiliary right after we were married. And I just kept being involved. I like the message. I like our work. I think we are very effective. And so I've held many offices in state and national. I've been national president for 8 years now.
Wow. Okay. Talk to us about the auxiliary. Who are they? What do they do? Who do they do it for? How do people join? How are you organized? Give us auxiliary 101.
Okay. The auxiliary are family members of Fraternal Order of Police members. And the auxiliary was formed because what impacts our officers impacts us. We are the direct line, their first line of support. Includes all families, spouses, children, adult children over the age of 18. But we find that the younger ones often are there helping us just as much. Mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles. And you can join the auxiliary if you are your officer is a FOP member. Many of our lodges have subordinate auxiliaries, and many of our states have state auxiliaries as well. And so we work to make sure that our officers know, first of all, that we are supportive of them. Second of all, that we are there to assist them or to assist the lodges whenever they're needed.
Okay, that makes a great deal of sense to me. I would suppose that if I was just a really, really good friend of a police officer, we were like brothers through college, that you'd find a way to let me in if I wanted to be part of it. Is that true?
We could. Well, if you could find another officer that in your family, even way back, if he was an FOP member, certainly. Otherwise, there is another organization called Associates, and many of our lodges have associates, which are friends of police officers or businessmen who wish to support law enforcement.
That makes a great deal of sense. So, Linda, I remember as an Army second lieutenant, I met my then future wife. We got engaged, and I went to Vietnam for a year. I came home. We got married. And a year later, I went back to Vietnam for another year.
Mm-hmm.
I did learn then that they also serve who wait at home. My wife served in ways that I never dreamed of while I was gone. So
Certainly. You
folks send your loved ones into possible hostile situations every day, and that's got to be a source of strength and pride, and that's what ties you together. Am I right?
Exactly. While you can't imagine, if you're not a police officer's family member, you can imagine what might go through your mind the minute you hear that there's been an officer shot or some kind of a stressful situation like that. But you really can't unless you are that officer's family or an officer's family. It's just an emotion that hits you. And while that emotion is very strong, so are the emotions when they are honored for something they've done heroically. And so we work very hard to assure the officers that are still working that we are so proud of them and that we are behind them 100%. We have several programs and events that we hold to let the officers know that we appreciate them.
You know, most people who are in the frontline area, whether it's military on the military side, police officers, people who put their lives on the line to protect other people, on the surface want to project the idea that they don't need that kind of support, when in reality they really, really do.
Yes.
And providing it to different people in different ways takes different approaches. But frankly, I've never, ever been offended by sincere appreciation for what I actually did. Not one of these everybody's a winner, but for sincere appreciation of what I've done. And that sincere sincere appreciation goes a long way, doesn't it?
It does. It just helps them because they hit so much negative stuff in their everyday that it just it helps them to know that there are people out there behind them. And not just family members. We run into every day people who just want to support police officers, and we are there to let them know that we're one of those.
And this coming week, National Police Week, must be a special time for you. Are there anything you guys are doing special during this week? I presume there's a lot you're doing.
There is. The auxiliary is the part of the memorial committee that deals with the survivors. This year we'll be honoring 228 officers and their families come to Washington, D.C. to participate in our service, where they will place a flower in the memorial wreath honoring them, their officer. And in order to get them to that point, we work with them to assure that they know that their officer is just as important as the officer in front of them or the officer behind them. Each family will receive medals of valor honoring their officer, and it does take a lot of work. We have an auxiliary committee of six that works year-round to assure that the families are able to participate, to be able to honor their officer in a solemn service that will let them go home and say, I participated and I know that I've done what I can do to honor my officer.
That is incredibly important. And I suspect that the family members know that that support is there, because the work you do, police officers training, is dangerous. It's not just in the middle of a shootout, but everything they do has some danger to it. So whether it's an accident somewhere or whether it's during a commission of a felony or something, they're in danger all the time, and their lives are valuable, and when we lose them, we must mourn them and give them honor. Is that a fair statement?
That is a very fair statement. And while the felonious assaults on the officers that end up in a line-of-duty death are very traumatic, there are other deaths that are just as traumatic. We honor officers who have died in the line of duty of a heart attack, or there are some that unfortunately are, say, on a way to a call and have an accident and are killed. Those deaths are just as traumatic to their families and to us as it is as a gunshot.
Sure they are. The loss of your loved one is the loss of a loved one. Linda, thank you for taking time to join us today and for helping us all understand better the role of the auxiliary, but also to better understand the life of a police officer. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Thank you, Danny, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and to let citizens know that we are out there and we are supporting our police 100%. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
It was a pleasure. Troops, this concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Julie Black, a police officer's fiance who also works on a response team. Then police officer Ted Maloney from New Jersey will speak of his career. Next, Sergeant Joe Daly will discuss being on patrol. And former police officer and retired police lieutenant Nick Brule will wrap it up. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run. Run a couple of miles of wind sprints, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Staying at a hotel is not the same thing as staying at the Fisher House.
The Fisher House, I know, is a huge part of Lance recovery.
For somebody like my husband, for them to know that their family members are being taken care of, that's a huge burden off of them, so they can concentrate on their therapies.
Just having that assurance that no matter what, as long as we were there for Anson, that someone would be there to take care of us. It took so much weight off our shoulders.
How can you help? Go to fisherhouse.org.
Mike Hewitt here. Pelosi tells her Democrat caucus that Trump is goading us to impeach him. Truth is, she's placed herself between a rock and a hard place. Like Trump or not, the nearly $40 million investigation says he's innocent of collusion, which isn't illegal in the first place. Ask Hillary. The special prosecutor doesn't like Trump, but do taxpayers really need to pay almost $40 million to learn that? Back to Pelosi. Half her caucus believes their own fundraising hype and see red, blue. How does Pelosi rectify such a quandary? She goes on the attack. Thank God for the office of the presidency that President Trump has finally invoked executive privilege. Enough already, Nancy. Not one Democrat legislator has bothered going to look at the Mueller report made available to Congress. Maybe that's not actually what they want. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says the United States won't back down. The president is on his way to Louisiana, and he's vowing to continue negotiating from a position of strength when it comes to trade talks with China.
A lot of money is being made by the United States, and a lot of strength is being shown. This has never happened to China before. Our economy is fantastic. Theirs is not so good.
Tiger Woods is speaking out after being sued for the death of an employee at a restaurant he owns in Jupiter, Florida.
We're all very sad that Nick passed away. It was a terrible night, a terrible ending, and just we feel bad for him and his entire family.
The parents of 24-year-old Nicholas Eimsberger are suing the Woods restaurant and Woods after their son drank alcohol just before he was killed in a single-car crash back in December. The suit alleges that Woods and other employees knew Eimsberger had a drinking problem but would regularly overserve him. This is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit pennzoil.com/travel on.
Oh my gut. We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
Actor and comedian Tim Conway has died at the age of 85. Conway's representatives say he died in Los Angeles on Tuesday from water on the brain. Conway was a star of the Carol Burnett Show and also starred in a number of Disney films, including The Shaggy D.A., the Apple Dumpling Gang. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has shared information on Iranian threats with officials at NATO in Brussels. USA Radio Network's John Clemens explains.
Mr. Pompeo discussed the threats by the Islamic Revolutionary Government in Tehran, including the recent reports of sabotage of several oil tankers off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. Brian Hook is the State Department's special representative for Iran.
Secretary Pompeo has always been diligent about sharing information with our allies as threats to peace and security warrant. Iran is an escalating threat.
I'm John Clemens.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
In the springtime, many folks fall sick to either the common cold or seasonal allergies, and a lot of these symptoms do overlap each other. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Tara Narla joins CBS This Morning and explains the difference between your common cold and allergies.
A lot of parents can struggle with that because there can be similarities. So first, it's rare to develop allergies if you're under two, seasonal allergies as a child. Second, you want to look at duration. Are the symptoms lasting a couple days, more likely a cold, or weeks to months, more likely allergies? Track them. Do they happen at the same time every year? Or your kid is okay in the house, and then the minute they go outside, they suddenly start coughing or sneezing. In addition, if there's fever, more likely to be a cold. You can look at the secretions. If the mucus is clear or watery, it's more likely allergies. And importantly, if your child complains a lot of itching eyes, itching nose, that really tends to be more of a hallmark of allergies. Kids can also have like lack of sleep, fatigue, trouble at school.
So what can you do to avoid some of the most intense allergic reactions?
Well, the best thing to do is to start early. So you want to prep, you know, and start taking your medications 2 weeks before allergy season starts.
Take it before?
Yes, 2 weeks before your body starts to create this reaction. There are nasal steroids, which are really the first line of treatment. There's also other drugs, antihistamines. You can get allergy shots, immunotherapy. But you can work with an allergist to create a plan. And then there's practical things. So close your windows, use your air conditioner, make sure that you wash your clothes, your hair, your body after you come inside.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, 100in. This is Big C coming to you from 100inchamberradio.com. at the studio offices of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning 100in kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on 100in County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning 100in, 100inchamberradio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they want to, which about one in every three does. Ranked as the number one public college of the South, the Citadel also offers master's degree graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this just might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to talk with Julie Black, police officer's fiance, who also works on a response team. Then police officer Ted Maloney from New Jersey will speak of his career. And Sergeant Joe Daly will discuss being a patrol officer. And retired police officer Nick Brule will discuss murdered police officers. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure now to introduce Julie Black from Indiana. She has a couple of irons in the police fire. First, every day she sends someone she loves out on dangerous job of being a cop, and she serves on the police critical issue response team. So welcome to the show, Julie.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Julie, are cops different than non-cops? You've been a citizen. You've been out there. How are they different?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Police officers, they go out every day and look, you know, they patrol the streets of our cities and